Continuing the Holy Spirit, last week we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not an experience, it's an execution. It's putting you to death, it's ending your obligation to law, and it's making you born again, born anew, God's Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit is indwelling a Christian, that's the Spirit that should be guiding your life. And once you have that, you develop the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. God's in charge. So once He's making you over in His image, you become perfect before God. We've got all that stuff. Now, what could possibly go wrong with all this? That's what we're going to talk about today. A lot of people think that once they become a Christian, well, that's it. I mean, it's easy street. God's going to take care of everything. God wants me to be rich. God wants me to be happy. God wants me to have everything my heart desires. Nonsense. What the Scriptures say is that when you become a Christian, the world will hate you and persecute you. It's those who endure to the end. So that's not what's going to happen. What you can do, even though you have the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, Paul tells the Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now what does grieve mean? How do you grieve somebody?
Cry over them?
No, that's grief. How do you grieve somebody? It's a verb.
You do something wrong to them.
You make them suffer. You make them hurt. You disobey. You rebel. You have no respect, no regard. You grieve them. He said the Christians are able to grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. So even though you become a Christian, even though you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring out love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, it is still in our power. It's still, we have the capability to grieve the Holy Spirit, to disobey, to walk away, to rebel, to ignore. So what we're going to talk about today is to grieve the Holy Spirit. Once you become a Christian, once you become part of God's kingdom, we're not done. Now it's letting the Holy Spirit instruct you, influence you, and to not let your human nature grieve the Holy Spirit. Now grieve. The word there means to cause sorrow, sadness, grief, to cause offense. The Holy Spirit, once He comes and indwells you, the Holy Spirit wants to make you like Jesus Christ. That you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself. How hard is that for some of us? Incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult. And we will grieve the Holy Spirit by kicking and bucking the whole way. So, grieving the Holy Spirit is to cause sorrow, sadness, grief. And by the Holy Spirit which we're sealed. Sealed means authenticated, confirmed. So those who are in Christ Jesus are confirmed by the Holy Spirit indwelling them. But we can refuse. We can rebel. We can ignore. We can hear what the Holy Spirit influences us to do and say, I don't want to. What happens to a child when they tell the parent, I don't want to? What happens, Elsie, if a child tells their parent, I don't want to? Huh?
They get squats.
There's going to be discipline. So what happens to you when you tell God, I don't want to?
Same thing.
There's discipline. And it grieves the parent to discipline a child. It grieves the Holy Spirit to discipline a Christian. But it's necessary. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, let's go back to the very beginning. Since we have God's Holy Spirit instructing us, gives us understanding of God, gives us understanding of the Scripture, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Let's go back to the very, very beginning. How did Adam and Eve grieve the Holy Spirit? They had instructions. What was their one instruction?
Don't
eat that. Don't eat that. How simple is that instruction?
Easy.
There's nothing to it. Don't eat that. It's like love your neighbor. How simple is that instruction? It's easy. Simple. Love your neighbor. How hard is it to keep?
Hard.
Yeah. How did Eve grieve the Holy Spirit? You listen to someone other than God. Alright? How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? It's what you listen to. It's whom you listen to. God said, don't eat that. Who told her to eat it?
The devil.
Satan. Satan said, no. If you eat that, you'll be just like God. That's the whole point. God just doesn't want you to be equal to Him. God wants you to be, He doesn't want you to be just like Him. God wants to be up here and you down here. He's trying to hold you down. But if you eat that, you'll become just like Him. So it's, who are you going to listen to? That is how you grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is telling you this is what God wants. And you have another voice saying, yeah, but this is what you want. Now, does everybody, are y'all familiar with this conflict going on inside of you all the time? And I mean all the time. The Holy Spirit's telling you this is what God wants. And then that little voice in your head says, yeah, but this is what you want. If you do it this way, you'll get what you want. And how many of us go, yeah, I want what I want. Yeah, I want what I want. This is the fundamental thing. This is how you grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, continuing this in verse 17. But this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. What is futility? Useless. If something's futile, futility means uselessness, worthlessness. In the useless, worthlessness of their own thoughts, their own mind, what they want to do. Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the, because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the hardness of their heart. This is the two kinds of people. You've got the Holy Spirit talking to every Christian. This is what God wants. And you either listen and you let the Holy Spirit change you, or you harden your heart. Y'all understand what that means? Harden your heart and you listen to what you want. Well, I want what I want, when I want it, where I want it, the way I want it. That's the only two choices. He said, you're no longer to walk like the Gentiles in the futility of their own mind, their own opinions, what they think the world is like, and their ignorance because of the hardness of their heart. God is telling you, there's no more mystery. I'll explain everything to you. You either listen to God or you harden your heart. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Those outside the church, they don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. They do not understand. Christians are supposed to. Christians are supposed to know this is what God wants. And if you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, that's what you're going to do. So let's talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. Listening to the wrong voice. God says, Holy Spirit says, this is what God wants. That little voice in your mind goes, yeah, but this is what you want. All right? Those are the choices. Let's talk about that. This is all in Ephesians 4. All of this context is in Ephesians 4. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by which you've been sealed. He says, and do not give the devil an opportunity. That's it. It's that simple. When you listen to anything other than the Holy Spirit telling you what God wants, who are you actually listening to? That's it. Who are you going to listen to? You've got the Holy Spirit saying, this is what God wants. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Do good to those who do evil to you. Go there. Visit that person. Have a kind word. Don't tell them I told you so. Don't complain. Don't grumble. Get along. All the things that God wants you to do to promote a loving, united relationship. You've got the Holy Spirit saying, this is what God wants. You have other voices, but they all boil down to this right here. Do what you want. And isn't that what the whole world listens to? Do what you want. If it feels good, do it. You know, that's how we grew up. Do what you want to do. This is the choice. Now, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit? You listen to the voice that says, do what you want. How often do we listen to that voice? We know the right thing to do. We know what the best thing to do. But we do what we want to do. Bing, bing. See there? Agrees with you. We do what we want to do. We know what the best thing is. We know what we should be doing. But I'm busy. I've got things to do. I've got things to take care of. I've got what I want to do. And we just don't listen to what the Holy Spirit says. And these are the list of things He says when you give the devil an opportunity. It says, laying aside falsehood, speak truth to each other. Speak truth to one another. How many of you heard the saying, truth hurts? A lot of us, we don't like telling the truth. This is all in Ephesians 4. I didn't write it down. I'm sorry. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love is where I'm going. But laying aside falsehood, speak the truth to one another. The number one thing Jesus said about Scripture, thy word is truth. So if you want to tell somebody the truth about the way this world is and about salvation and about God and about the church and about evil, if you want to tell them the truth, what do you tell them? Scripture. How many people don't want to hear it? Elsie, how many people do not want to hear what the Bible says?
Most.
Because that's what God wants and they don't care. The Bible's not what they want. So they change it. They make it say what they want to say. And then they throw out the parts they don't like. The first thing that we're supposed to do in order to not give the devil an opportunity is speak what the Scripture speaks. If the Scripture says this is how it is, what do we say?
Yes.
This is how it is. But Micah's talking to a Baptist or a Methodist or an atheist. And if he tells them what Scripture says, they're going to get upset with you, Micah. So now what do you do? Well, you've got a choice. You can give the devil an opportunity and say, well, you know, what do you think? You know, and have somebody's opinion be as equal to Scripture. Don't ever do that. Or you can speak the truth in love. That's 4:15, Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is self-control. It's how you say the truth, but do you tell them the truth? Scripture says this. Well, I don't think baptism has anything to do with salvation, Bonnie. What do you say? That's your opinion. Huh? Oh, so you're going to be hard-headed about it. Yeah, you're one of those Church of Christ people. No, no wonder nobody can stand you people. You got cement heads. You think you're the only ones that know the truth. Well, everybody's opinion counts just as much as everybody else's opinion. No, it doesn't. You're going to speak the truth in love. You're going to say, Scripture says this. Anything else is giving the devil an opportunity. You guys understand that? If you're going to upset somebody, be as careful and as diplomatic and as loving and as kind and as patient as you can be. But if they ask, what are you going to tell them? The truth. The Scripture. If an angel from heaven tells you something different than what Scripture says, they're accursed. How many people want to hear that? So what are you going to say? Sorry, but that's what it says. So that's the first thing about not giving the devil an opportunity is speak the truth in love. If the Scripture says it, do not be afraid to say it. Say it as kindly and as nicely and as diplomatically as you can say it. But you tell them, Scripture says this. And say, if it's show me where I'm wrong. And if they can't show you where you're wrong, speak the truth. Everybody got the first. That's the major thing. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Speak the truth to one another. Tell the truth. What if they don't believe it?
That's their problem.
That's their problem. 2 Timothy 2:25 tells you the exact way you're supposed to handle this. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, that God may grant them a knowledge of the truth. So if someone says, I don't like Church of Christ, I don't like organized religion, I don't like any of that stuff, what are you going to say about it? You going to argue and debate?
No.
With gentleness, correcting those in opposition. What if they don't want to be gentle? We're done. If they will not allow you to gently, calmly correct them, you're through. Everybody understand? You're through. Now, a lot of Christians think unless you argue, you're giving the devil an opportunity. That's nuts. If you begin to argue, that's when the devil has his opportunity. The devil's going to tell that other person, you see how these Christians are? You see, these people aren't loving and kind and gentle. These people are just horrible. They're mean and they're arrogant and they're prideful. When you argue and debate Scripture, you are giving the devil an opportunity. Don't ever gently correct. If they don't want to be gentle, if they don't want to hear it, you're done. Let's go get some coffee and talk about something else. Show them that we are kind and gentle and loving. That is the number one thing about not giving the devil an opportunity. Tell them the Scriptures, what the Scripture says. Do not sugarcoat. Do not say, well, maybe, might be. Scripture is never maybe, might be. It is what it is, and that's exactly what it is. You tell them Scripture. You tell them the truth in love, patiently, kindly, gently, and then you correct with gentleness. If that's not available because of the other person, you're done. Everybody understand that part? Anything else gives the devil an opportunity. Don't do it. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by giving the devil opportunity. Number two, don't give the devil an opportunity. Scripture says, be angry and do not sin. Now, I want you to think about what it says. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Now, the word angry there, the Greek word, means to shake. Y'all ever been so mad you could just... So, is it a sin to get angry?
No.
Absolutely not. Did Jesus get angry?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. He got angry 3 years in a row. He threw the money changers out of the temple three times. All 3 years he came to Passover, he threw the money changers out. The first year, it took whips and cords. The two after that, he just came in there and started. They ran. They knew what was next. Did Jesus get good and angry? Yes, he did. So is it a sin for a Christian to get good and angry? No, it is not. Yet, do not sin. Where's the sin in it?
If you do something about it.
Yeah. Being angry is one thing. What you choose to do about it is wholly something else. In Hebrews 3:10, therefore I was angry with this generation and said they always go astray in their heart and they did not know my ways. Does God Himself get angry?
Yes.
He gets furious. He said, this generation gets sick. You're going to die in the wilderness. I will not have this. God Himself can get furious. Did you just try to pull Bob's nose off? You're not angry, are you? God Himself gets furious. John 2:15, and He made a scourge of cords and drove them out of the temple. Jesus Himself gets angry. There's nothing wrong with it. Therefore, is it a sin to get angry? Absolutely not. But we do not let our anger control us. You understand where the sin is? Get angry, but control your anger. Never let your anger control you. Because what happens when your anger controls you, Bonnie?
Well, things come out of your mouth that you shouldn't say.
Oops.
And a lot of people get this wrong.
Yep. If your anger controls you, then you're going to say what you can never take back. You're going to do what you can never take back. You understand? Those things are wrong. That's where you mess up. That's where the sin is. You can get good and angry, but you have to control your anger. Well, anger that's controlled isn't really anger, is it, Bonnie?
Yeah, it is.
So how does a Christian control his anger?
Trying to be calm.
Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, patience, gentleness, self-control. How do you control your anger as a Christian? You let the Holy Spirit guide you in what to do. You want to pop off and say things to hurt the other person, because that's our nature. And you know just the perfect thing to say, to cut them as deep as they're ever going to be cut. And the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. What do you do?
Listen.
If you listen, you bite your tongue and you don't say it. If you want to grieve the Holy Spirit and listen to what you want to do, you will cut that other person as deep as you possibly can. And then life is better. Right, Bonnie? If you take your tongue and just cut that other person down, then life is fantastic. You feel like a big person. You've cut them down to size. And now everything's great. Or do you regret every single word? Listen to the Holy Spirit. He knows what God wants. He wants you, don't say that. Don't do that. You know exactly what to do to hurt that other person. Don't do that. Don't do it. You understand? Listen to the Holy Spirit, and you'll do the right thing. Do what you want. You're grieving the Holy Spirit, and it's going to turn out bad. Is it a sin to get angry? Absolutely not. We do not let our anger control us. And Scripture says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. What does that mean?
Don't go to bed.
Your anger is not a sin. Don't let it control you. And as much as important as don't let it control you, your anger has an expiration date. And that's today's date. If you're angry, if you get angry at someone, angry at a situation, angry at God, when you get angry, it has an expiration date today. The sun cannot go down on your anger. You will control it, and whatever you need to do to settle this matter, you will do it. Everybody understand how you don't grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, I don't want to talk to that person. I'm angry, but I don't want to talk to them. Well, what does the Holy Spirit tell you? Don't text them. Go over there and look them in the face and say, you made me angry. I'm angry. We need to talk this out. I don't want to be angry with you. I don't want this feeling. I don't want anything bad between us. It can't be a fax or a text. You have to look them in the eye and say, you upset me and I want to talk it out. I want this settled. That's how a Christian does it. Number one, you tell the truth. Number two, you can get angry, but do not sin. The Spirit can be grieved by letting our anger control us and by holding on to it and letting it fester instead of doing something about it. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Tell the truth. Don't let anger control your life. Excuse me. Now, the next thing. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Every Christian must labor performing with his own hands what he has to do. Be self-sufficient. The idea here is, 2 Thessalonians 3:11, for we have heard that some among you are leading an undisciplined life and doing no work at all. If you want to grieve the Holy Spirit, decide that you're not going to take care of what you should be taking care of. You're not going to earn a living. You're not going to take care of yourself. You're going to be a leech and a parasite. That's not it. We have heard that some among you are undisciplined and doing no work at all. What's Paul's attitude toward this idea? That's not Christian. That's not Christian. Do the work that's given to you to do today. Take care of what you should take care of. Do it like you are working for God Himself, because that's what you're actually doing. And take care of yourself. And not only that you can earn what you need, but that you'll have something to give to people who can't work. That's another thing. Don't be lazy. Tell the truth. Don't let anger control you. Don't be lazy. Take care of your responsibilities. That's what a Christian does. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Attend to your own business and work with your hands. So what does the Bible teach Christians about work? That's your responsibility. You will work. You will take care of yourself. You will be self-sufficient. You won't live off other people. You won't be lazy. And if you want to grieve the Holy Spirit, decide, I don't feel like it. And be lazy. Tell the truth. Don't let anger control you. Work with your hands. Do the work you're given to do. Well, Elsie, I've lost my job. I can't work.
Yeah, you can. There's other jobs.
Well, I lost my job. And I get an unemployment check, so I'm just going to watch TV and sit at the house and get my unemployment.
That's nice. That's not what you're supposed to do.
Well, why?
You work.
Well, as soon as somebody calls me up with a job, I'll go to work.
You work or you don't eat.
Huh? Well, it's not my fault. No one's calling me up and offering me a job.
You go out and look.
Yeah, but I don't want to.
I know.
It's our nature. You know, most of us to be lazy. You have people like Paul Pitts who's the polar opposite of that.
Yeah.
But it's our nature to kind of slough off. Don't do it. Tell the truth. Don't let anger control you or fester and hold on to it. Be responsible for yourself. These are simple things. It's what you should teach kids. It's not rocket science here. So that you will have something to share with others who are in need. That's the Holy Spirit's whole thing. It's not only responsible for yourself, but you'll have something to help somebody next to you. Somebody that needs your help. If you're lazy, and what would you have to give to help anybody else? That's not the Christian way to live. Take responsibility. Don't let idleness be an opportunity for the devil. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. You've heard that all your life. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Be responsible. Take care of your responsibilities. And then last, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. What does that mean? Huh?
You don't hurt other people with your words.
Right. Unwholesome. The Greek said, the Greek in that means something that causes problems, causes decay, causes harm. When you speak, what you say is how people judge you. It's what people think of you, the way you talk. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. James 3:6. And the tongue is a fire. What does that mean? You want to burn down a relationship? Your tongue can do it. You want to burn down a friendship? Your tongue can do it. How careful should Christians be about what they say?
Very,
very, very careful. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace. How much grace is in vulgarity, profanity, and dirty jokes and stuff? So how much profanity and vulgarity and dirty jokes and vulgar language, how much of that should be part of a Christian's vocabulary?
Never.
Ever, never, ever. And if it's part of your vocabulary, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Aren't you? Because the Holy Spirit's not telling you to use that four-letter language and tell those dirty jokes and use that vulgarity. He's telling you, don't say that, don't do that. But you have that voice going, yeah, but I want to. I want to. If I don't talk like this, my coworkers are going to think I'm weird. If I don't talk like the rest of the school kids, they'll think I'm odd. I want to talk like they do. I want to talk like the people around me so they won't focus in that I'm different. Well, isn't that the whole point of being a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
That you're different. You don't speak like the world. You don't act like the world. You don't talk like the world. You're supposed to make them look at you and go, what is this? You're not anything like anybody else I've ever met. So, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by what you say and how you say things. The Holy Spirit can be grieved by the language you choose to use, even when you tell the truth. You understand that? How many people tell the truth, but it's in order to hurt the other person, to inflict as much damage as they possibly can? Even if you tell the truth, you can speak wrong. You can use unwholesome language. I remember Mary used to say, well, I'm thinking it, I might as well say it. No, Mary. No. Yes, you're thinking it, but don't say it. You know, and be careful how you speak to people. The Holy Spirit can be grieved in these four ways. Always tell the truth. The Scripture is the truth. Don't ever sugarcoat it, alter it, change it. It is what it is. Speak it in love, patient, kindly, gently correcting. If they don't want to be gentle about it, stop. But always tell the truth. Okay? Never let anger control you. Always control your anger and don't let the sun go down on your anger. Settle it. Go to that person and settle it. Always be responsible for yourself. Take care of your responsibilities in a timely manner. Don't slough off and be lazy. And be careful how you speak and the language you use. These are the four top ways that the Holy Spirit tries to make us different than the world. And these are the four top ways that we grieve the Holy Spirit. All right? Truth, anger, responsibility, language. Those four things are how the Holy Spirit sets you apart from this world. And if you're not different in the way you speak the truth, and the way you control your anger, and the way you take care of your responsibilities, and in the way you speak, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. And there will be discipline. Grieve your parent, little kid, and see what happens. There will be discipline when you grieve the Holy Spirit. The result of grieving the Holy Spirit, let's just look at examples. What happened when Adam and Eve grieved the Holy Spirit and gave the devil an opportunity? Death, destruction. Okay? They grieved the Holy Spirit by not listening, and they gave the devil an opportunity, and they lost everything. What happened to Moses when he gave the devil an opportunity and he struck the rock the second time? He lost everything. God told him through the Holy Spirit, speak to the rock. But Moses didn't want to. Moses, I want to strike that rock. He was angry. He didn't control his anger. He was furious with the people. He went out there and struck the rock again. In opposition to what God told him, he lost everything. God said, because you did that, you can't go. You have to go up on the mountain and die. You can't go into the promised land. So what happens when you give the devil an opportunity with your anger? You can lose everything. You can lose everything because you gave the devil an opportunity with your anger. What happened to David when he gave the devil an opportunity while he was on the rooftop looking at Bathsheba. Lost everything. He looked at Bathsheba on the next housetop, and the Holy Spirit said, "Don't you do it. That doesn't belong to you. That belongs to another man. Admire it all you want, but that doesn't belong to you." And what did David want? He wanted what belonged to another man. And he lost everything. Because you did this, he lost the firstborn. He couldn't build the temple. He lost. It was horrible. Because he gave the devil an opportunity. You guys understand what happens when you give the devil an opportunity? What happened when Judas Iscariot gave the devil an opportunity? God said, "This is how it's going to be." And Judas said, "No, I want it this way." What happened to Judas? Death, destruction, he lost everything. You guys get the message? The Holy Spirit is trying to instruct every single one of us. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. Speak the truth in love with gentleness. Correct those in opposition. If that's not possible, you're done. Stop. Don't argue. Don't fuss. Don't fight. God's servant must not be quarrelsome. Right? Don't let anger control you. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Settle the matter or let it go. Always be responsible for yourself. Take care of your responsibilities in a timely manner. And be careful how you speak because people are listening. You know, I can't count the times when I've heard little kids suddenly let go with four-letter language and the parents turn red. Because they've been using that language without thinking about it. And now these little kids are popping off four-letter language. And you know what the parent does? Don't you do... Wait a minute. He heard you doing it. Why aren't you slapping yourself? If you're going to slap him for doing it, why don't you slap yourself? Be careful. When you give the devil an opportunity, you can lose every single thing. Let the Holy Spirit confirm the truth of the Scriptures. Let Him control your anger. Let Him control your language. Let Him make you a responsible person. Let the Holy Spirit guide your attitude, guide your anger, take you out of laziness, idleness, and make you a productive person, and control the way you speak. Once you do all that, the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And if you let the Holy Spirit influence you to where you can control yourself with your language and your anger and your responsibilities and the truth, how is the devil ever going to have an opportunity to take anything away from you? He can't. The devil can't take anything from you if you don't give him the opportunity. Everybody understand?
Yeah.
Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He's telling you this is what God wants. Truth in love with gentleness. Control your anger. Settle it. Don't let the sun go down in your anger or let it go. Be responsible. Work with your hands. Be careful what you say. When you do these things, the devil will never have an opportunity to take one thing from you. And if he can't take anything from you, what is God going to give you?
Everything.
Everything. Everybody understand the lesson?
Yes.
All right. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Why is your hand up?
Yes.